with what can only be described as the greatest DC podcast out there, because you have the two greatest DC hosts, and that is myself, Mike, at the DC Fanboy on Twitter, and we also have Carrie. How's it going?
I'm at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42, and I am doing great. I am still caffeinated, but I am doing great.
That's right. We just got done recording a little bit of bonus content, kind of just some small reactions and things about Rise of Skywalker. So don't listen to that unless you want to be, if you haven't seen it, don't be spoiled. Uh-huh. And I should mention, this is December 22nd when we're recording. So this is the last episode that you're going to hear of DC Talk before Festivus. So happy Festivus, everybody. And if you know what Festivus is, congratulations. If you don't, what are you doing with your life until you know what Festivus is?
Well, and for those of you who were celebrating last night, I hope you all had a nice solstice.
Yeah, solstice, December 21st. Yeah. I knew that one, Carrie. Yep. Hey. Proud of me. Hey. You know what else I can find?
It's kind of my holiday, so.
Yeah. Tell us what you celebrate. Do you celebrate Festivus? You could do that by emailing us.
If people around me are celebrating Festivus, I will join in. But mostly Yule. A bit of Christmas, and Hanukkah starts tonight, so there will be Hanukkah festivities at the dojo. Ooh. I think Monday.
Well, yeah, we need tomorrow. I need to go find a big metal pole for Festivus, though.
This is the one time of the year where I get the really good jelly donuts.
Jelly donuts. Love that.
The benefit of having a Jewish sensei is that you get to know the gloriousness that is Sufganiyot, and it is lovely.
You know what else is lovely? randomchatter.com. You can go visit our website, randomchatter.com. You can email us, dctalk@randomchatter, and we have all of our other shows on there. Matter of fact, there's a new show coming, Carrie. I'm not going to tell anybody what it is, but it is coming.
You're not going to tell anyone what it is, but if you go hunting around the Random Chatter website, you may find it.
Ooh, it's already been added, then. That's sweet. I love that. Yeah. It's coming, though. The first episode is...
It's amazing what happens when I have time on my hands.
That's right. The first episode is on its way. So, with all that being said, hang on one second. Sorry, everybody. I just had to mute for a second because I had to cough. I have been trying to get over a cold, and I didn't want everybody to hear me, you know, all over the microphone. Because, you know, people don't tune in to hear that. They tune in to hear our awesome voices that put people to sleep. And,
put people to sleep? What?
Well, I'm talking about mine. No, mine's not very sleep edifying right now. But we don't have a lot to talk about tonight. There is not a lot going on. So here's what we have. We have a couple pieces of news, and we have one DC TV show, and that's Harley Quinn. We're going to talk about. But before we get into all that, we have a quote of the week. And I decided, in honor of what kind of happened on Harley Quinn, why don't we have a Poison Ivy quote? So this is from...
You suppose.
From Poison Ivy, from Batman and Robin, all of our favorite Batman movie. And it says...
No, but I'll allow it.
Carrie's in a very generous mood tonight.
It's the holidays. I'm in a generous mood.
That's right.
You can quote the worst Batman movie ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me quote one of the best lines ever. She says this to Robin, Boy Wonder. She says, "Come join me. My garden needs tending."
It's actually rather appropriate for this week's episode of Harley, too.
It really is. It really is. And we'll get into that in just a second. Before we go into anything else, Carrie, are you got anything else? Or we just head on into our news?
What do you think? I think I'm good.
Sweet. Well, let's go ahead then and head on into our news. So we only have like three pieces of news today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of skip the first one and go to the next one. Joker has been shortlisted for an Oscar nominations in two categories. It was shortlisted in the makeup and hairstyling category, as well as the original score category.
Yeah.
So I like that. Congratulations. I think that's great. I'm excited about Joker getting some nominations. And
I'm too.
it's the first rated R comic movie to do what it did, which brings me to kind of the next article. We have an official rating for the Birds of Prey movie in February, and does it surprise anybody? Ding, ding, ding. It's rated R.
You know what? If you go back and I extol the virtues of the Batman versus Superman director's cut all the bloody time, and I believe the extended cut is R-rated, and it is a superior movie
Right.
to the theatrical release. So I have no problems with this. If it's go if you're go just go for it already.
I think, and kind of bringing in what we talked about last week, this being the most anticipated movie of 2020, I think this is okay because I think what DC has done, especially with like Joker, is shown that there is a target audience that enjoys rated R comic book films like Joker. And they are okay with them. And but I also think with the story you may be telling in Birds of Prey, it kind of would be hard to make that PG-13.
This is not completely a slight against Disney and Marvel and what have you, but we have but with the purchasing of Marvel by Disney, with the release of Disney Plus, we have seen and even to some extent with Star Wars, we have seen a bit of a Disneyfication
Yeah.
of the content.
We haven't seen anything really I hate to use the word
It's
heavy. That's
yeah,
a
I
terrible word because I think
it's not
Infinity War and Endgame were pretty heavy movies.
yeah, Infinity War and Endgame were pretty heavy, but you it, with ex with very, very few exceptions, you don't see a lot of holy crap, we're going here.
Right.
With we're going to a dark place with the Marvel stuff. You don't see a lot. You see a little more with Star Wars, but even then, it's a movie for kids.
Right.
And I would argue that even with the animated movies, DC is better when it treats its audience like adults.
Right. And there's this.
Which is not to say that I think that Marvel is treating its fans like children. It's not. But I think that DC, I want to be very clear about that. This is not a slight against Marvel whatsoever, but I feel like DC is treating its audience as more grown up.
They are when Marvel's going to put a movie out, they want to make it family friendly. They want to make it so everybody can see it. I mean that's just the truth, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good because these are movies I can show. Like most of the DC movies, my wife is not going to watch. Now she
No.
watched Wonder Woman, she watched Aquaman, because they're not as dark as like BVS and Man of Steel. Even Man of Steel wasn't really dark. She's not going to watch Joker. She's probably not going to watch Birds of Prey. But she'll watch, Wonder Woman or Aquaman or something like that. But she's more apt to watch Marvel because they're family friendly. Now, can Marvel get dark on their movies? Yes, they can. But I think the darkest you've seen them go was like Infinity War. And even
Infinity
it
War, a bit with the depression angle on Thor,
and then him cutting off the head of Thanos as well in
a
Endgame.
bit with a bit with a bit with some of the things that they implied during Age of Ultron with Natasha.
Right.
They have gone to a semi-dark place, but they it kind of feels like they've pulled their punches.
Right. I feel like there's a difference in dark tones. And when you're talking about something that Marvel produces, that is a dark tone of a movie, it's something that they could still watch with kids. But when DC produces a dark tone of a movie, it's something you probably don't want to watch with your children because it's going to get heavy and it's going to get dark. Even from the comics I've read of, I haven't read a lot of Marvel comics. I've read a lot of DC comics, but from what I have read, that's even how the comics are. You know, you have DC's Black mm-hmm. Label right now as well. And, yeah. you know, it's, there's some, DC comics have always been heavier and darker, I think, than the Marvel comics themselves, mm-hmm. which is not a bad thing. It's just, that's how they wanted to brand themselves.
But I mean, if you look at some of the more adult oriented content, even with Marvel, it's gone away. Punisher was a series that didn't pull any punches, and it got canceled. I know you didn't like Jessica Jones, but Jessica Jones also did not pull a whole lot
right.
of punches.
Those were good.
Daredevil did not pull any punches.
I still haven't seen season 3
even
of Jessica
I would
Jones.
Even I would dare say Cloak and Dagger with what they were doing last season, the second season with the human trafficking storyline, that got into a very, very dark place. And what happened to that? It's also gone away.
And
so,
Runaways was kind of in that tub too.
Runaways was also more adult, and
Luke
it's
Cage
also yeah
was that way.
Luke Cage.
The only one who wasn't really as much was Iron Fist. I mean, it wasn't
Iron Fist was a little more comic booky, which and it was fine. I loved Iron Fist. I know you loved Iron Fist, but you know it also gets into there was this thing that happened and I think when the last time Tim was on, or I think maybe the last time Eric was on, we talked about, you know, the dark days of Disney and how, you know, there was a period of Disney where things, they did stuff that generally scared the crap out of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was fine with that. That is the era I grew up in, and that is the kind of Disney stuff that I know they are capable of doing when they decide to go for it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there sometime during the 80s and 90s, there came to be this idea that if you did something that was animated, it was for kids.
Yeah.
If you did something that was comic book related, it was for kids. And then you had stuff like the Spawn... not the movie, the Spawn TV show, which was animated and really, really dark. I haven't seen it yet, but it was really, really dark, really, really violent, and people made the mistake of thinking that it was for that their kids could watch it. It's something similar to Deadpool. You know, Deadpool is not for children.
No.
But people see it, they go, oh, it's a comic book movie, I can take my kids to go see this. No, you can't.
this is the same
or
way with Joker.
Or you can, but
the
you
same
may,
with Harley
you,
Quinn.
You run the risk of messing up your kids a lot. But sometime in like the 90s, towards the beginning of the century, there's this mindset that came into being that if it was animated or if it was comic book, cartoons are for children.
Right.
Comic books are for children.
Right.
And we're slowly getting out of that mindset. And I think that movies like Joker, movies like Deadpool, movies like Birds of Prey are even the DC animated stuff is helping people to get out of that mindset that not everything has to be for children.
Right. And I do think what DC is showing is that even like for example the Harley series that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, you know, there is like I said, there is a niche for that, and that
mm-hmm.
and that there are adults who want to watch animated, you know, stuff, but it needs to be adult. If we don't want to sit there and watch children's content all the time, we want to watch that we can, you know, that we would. I hate to say it like that. It's you understand what I get. There's a difference between a Batman versus the Ninja Turtles and Harley Quinn movie or
yeah.
Harley Quinn TV
show.
Definitely. There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference.
Right.
Well, that's been the argument I've seen about Star Trek versus Star Wars, is even in the 60s when Gene Roddenberry created Star Trek, he was talking to adults. And yeah, adults could bring their kids to watch the content because it wasn't, you know, risque or anything really. But it was adult themes, adult, you know, issues. And Lucas was very upfront with the idea that Star Wars was for kids. And that he was talking to children in Star Wars. Star Trek never did that.
Right.
I've seen people talking about how you know, Jim Cameron really isn't making more Avatar movies for the money. He's making it to kind of indoctrinate this idea of environmentalism and conservation into a new generation of children, because that's what Avatar was doing. Right. So,
and before that, it was Ferngully.
Yeah. Avatar is Ferngully live action.
Pretty much.
So, yeah. And that's not to say I don't like either movie. I love both. But you need to know what the audience is.
Right. But we said that to get back into the circle.
We said all this, and we still have one more. News item.
So, Birds of Prey does get an official R rating for the movie, so be careful before you take your kids, which I don't see it making as much as Joker did, even though Joker crossed over $1 billion. But I think it'll get pretty good. So, anyways, the last one we got is we had a trailer release this week for the Superman Red Sun animated movie that's coming out.
Yes.
For those who don't know, this was a 3-issue miniseries back in 2003 by Mark Miller, Dave Johnson, and Killian Plunkett. It's an Elseworld tale that imagines a world where instead of growing up in Kansas and fighting for truth, justice, the American way, Kal-El's rocket lands in the USSR in the 1950s, and Superman becomes a champion of the Soviet values.
Does this sound familiar to anyone who watched last season of Supergirl?
Yep.
Yes, it does.
The story will recast Batman, Wonder Woman, Brainiac, Green Lantern, Lex Luthor, the allies of the Cold War. Again, if you can't remember, the film cast for the voice cast includes Jason Isaacs as Kal-El, Amy Acker as Lois Lane, Diedrich Bader as Lex Luthor, Phil Morris as James Olsen, Phil Lamar as John Stewart, Vanessa Marshall.
Phil Lamar is always John Stewart, by the way. We were discussing this a couple of weeks ago on DC Talk when we were talking about that. Phil Lamar is, I believe, Jean's brother on Supergirl.
Okay.
Yeah. Phil Lamar is Malefic.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. And then let's see. Then it has
Vanessa Marshall as Wonder Woman.
Yep, Vanessa Marshall. Sasha
Royce as Hal Jordan. I like that costume.
Roger Craig Smith as Batman. Paul Williams as Brainiac, and William Sawyer as Joseph Stalin. So it's going to be released in early 2020. But we saw the trailer. It's very interesting. It's not you know, it's pretty much what I expected the movie to be.
I'm already getting major 80s vibes off of this. It's great.
I still need to watch Wonder Woman Bloodlines. But speaking of Wonder Woman, I have to say that during the right before Rise of Skywalker, when I saw that the other day, we had the Wonder Woman 1984 trailer, and it's the first time I've seen that trailer
on a big screen,
yes. And I am that much more excited about this movie.
Oh yeah, that was great.
And I had a DC hater that went with me in the group that loves everything. That thinks DC, everything he thinks he puts out is just garbage. And he looked over me, he just shook his head no. And I'm like, buddy, you just don't even know what you're missing. You don't even understand what's going on right now. So if you want to check out that trailer, take a look at it. And we still need to get together and record our Wonder Woman's Bloodlines episode. We will do that.
We'll do that.
After I finish Marvel Runaways, I'm going to go watch Bloodlines. It's on my list. And then back to Smallville. Besides, I have a little over a month before anything DC TV really comes back.
Except for Harley.
Well, so we'll have Harley all through the holidays.
We'll have Harley to keep us occupied while we're waiting for Crisis on Infinite Earths to finish up.
To see how that happened, how all that stuff shook out, you know.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, that's all of our news. So, Carrie, why don't you bring us into our one topic of DC TV discussion.
Harley Quinn, Season 1, Episode 4, Finding Mr. Right. Oh boy. In search of a nemesis, Harley goes after Batman, but ends up with an adolescent Robin, making her the laughingstock of the criminal underworld.
I don't even know what to start in this episode. I don't even know where to start.
You know what? I think we were talking in the bonus content about being careful what you wished for. You wanted more Batman in the series.
I got more Batman in this episode than I thought was going to happen.
Be careful what you wish for, dude.
I did not expect this much Batman. I was waiting for her to say her one line. I mean, she kind of did, because she recorded his voice on her phone to steal the Batmobile. and oh man, King Shark was pretty funny in this too.
I loved King Shark in this. That was awesome.
I can't remember his voice. I know his voice. I can't remember the actor's name. I'm gonna look it up while you talk a little about it, because he's the same guy. Ron Funches. He's the guy who's the Tuck guy. What was that show that got canceled? That was Superpowers or something like that. I can't remember the name of it now. Oh man!
Vanessa Marshall, by the way, is Giganta in Harley.
Really?
And we were talking about Dietrich Bader was going to be who in Red Sun?
Oh, I cannot remember. Oh, by the way, Ron Funches played Ron in Powerless, the superhero sitcom that got canceled.
Dietrich Bader is voicing Lex Luthor in Red Sun. He's doing the voice of Batman on Harley Quinn. So right. I like how they're reorganizing the voice cast.
Yes.
For this show. It's great.
So this whole time in this episode, like, Harley is trying to get a big nemesis, and every time, you know, they just got done robbing this big bank, and they get there, well, maybe we're the last story, and the last story happened to be like a box of ferrets will be returned to, you know, it's always Batman and Robin. So she goes trying to get a nemesis, and it ends up being Robin at one time.
Yeah. And he's 12.
Right. And he's the sweet potato pie of Gotham City.
Yeah, because apparently they don't realize that this is the Robin that was raised by the League of Assassins.
Right.
Although we know that because he admitted it to us.
Dad, help. Daddy, help. Father.
Father, help.
Mother, help. Help. You know, when Killer Shark tries to when his blood goes into the water, and then
the shark suddenly, you know, does what a shark does.
Right, right. And then Joker, and then as Batman is fighting Harley, Joker busts out of the bank and like, all right, Batman, I'm here. And like, there's like nobody. Like, it's completely quiet. He's like, I'm not gonna say what he said, but where's Batman?
Batman is off fighting Harley, which is awesome, because, you know, this is, you know, Batman's story, even though things happened weirdly, you know, Batman is starting to take Harley seriously. Joker is realizing that people are starting to take Harley seriously. And we're also building up, I think, to the Harley Poison Ivy relationship, which is going to be fun, I think, because
it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Well, I mean, they've been on and off again in the comics, I believe.
Okay, I don't know
about maybe about as much as Joker and Harley, but a little slightly more healthy.
You mean Joker and Harley aren't healthy?
No, Joker and Harley are not a very healthy relationship.
I believe that. I believe it. So
why else would all the Harley stories lately be centered around Harley kicking Joker to the curb. I mean, that we're seeing this in Harley Quinn. We're seeing this in Birds of Prey. This is becoming a people are starting, the general public are starting to realize what a lot of us have known for a while, that Harley can and does stand on her own.
Okay. Well, anything you have about the episode?
It's a deep subject. I still think this series is a lot of fun.
It's starting to get better for me.
It's getting a lot better. I still think that they are dealing with some pretty serious topics in a way that makes fun of it. I mean, the best Mel Brooks movies ridicule things that are tropes. And some of the best satire is stuff that ridicules things that really need a hard looking at. And I think this is doing that in a way that is making people laugh and also making people think.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It is for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all the DC TV discussion we got. Seems different after the last time when we had to cover Crisis.
I know. Well, I mean, only half an hour is... It kind of makes up for the extra long episodes around Crisis and all that.
It has only been half an hour. Well, it's only been like 25 minutes for me, but we haven't... But then again, we had a nice little discussion right there in the middle we didn't expect to have, so it was good. But look, that's it then. So... we'll be back after the Christmas holiday. So, if you enjoyed it, let us know. You know how to reach out to us, and if not, don't let us know. Let somebody else know. Actually, no, I don't even know what to say there. Just, you know, be nice, be kind, rewind.
Be kind, yeah, be kind.
Be kind, rewind. Blockbuster. wink for all those who. There's a new podcast coming. We'll get into that later, but. With all that being said, until next time, have a great holiday season, and we'll see you back on DC Talk. So peace out, everybody.
Bye, all.